Live from Muck's Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie, this is Kenny and Heilprin on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network.
Welcome in, everybody. We are live. Kenny and Heilprin, Muck's Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie. Happy opening day to all that celebrate. Ben Kenny, Zach Heilprin here with you. Our second to last time out at Muck's, actually, which I guess signifies the start of summer. It signifies spring ball getting going and getting through. It signifies the college football season, I guess, inching closer. But the Badgers obviously out of the NIT with their loss on Tuesday night. Spring practice still going on, though. Yeah, day three today. How are you? Are you in the swing of all this off season? Because you're a busy man these days.
I'll be honest. It has been a very, very busy week. And it's just getting started. There's another 4 weeks of spring ball this week. I was looking forward to spring ball. Still am. Still enjoying it. I'd much rather be it like this than just completely dead. But it is a lot. It's been good. It's been good.
So spring ball number three today, and we had podcast up. We were not live on Tuesday. Podcast did go up, though, reacting to the first 2 days. Then, obviously, you and Jesse have been putting out episodes. You also have been putting out episodes of the camp.
I was going to say, Jesse, if it was me and Jesse, I think it'd be a lot less. I'd be a lot less busy.
Well, you guys had one this morning.
We did, yep.
Reacting to day three. But take us in there. Let's go the good, the bad, what's been different from spring ball. Let's start with the good. This is a positive show,
yeah. As
everybody always knows it to be.
Yeah. So, as you said, we did talk about what happened in the first two practices. So I'll concentrate on Thursday. And the good, certainly in my mind, was the play of Tanner Mordecai, which after a few, not bad days, but
pedestrian?
Just not jump out and slap you in the face good type of days from the offense, which is kind of what you'd be expecting when you're still installing it. The first 4 days of spring are installation days. They're going to be learning the offense the first 4 days, then it's 4 days of, you know, getting it down, and then 4 days of let's go. Or 3 days of let's go. No, 4 days of let's go, and you finish out spring that way. So the first couple of days were a bit rough, but he hit some really, really nice passes today. He hit Will Pauling in one-on-ones over the shoulder, just perfect, which would have been a touchdown. Had a great pass over the middle to Jack Eschenbach for a touchdown, who beat Trevion Blaylock. He just felt more in control, more comfortable, and took advantage of it. Look, he doesn't have the biggest arm of all the quarterbacks. That's easily Nick Ebers, but you can tell he's the most experienced of him. He doesn't get flustered right now. He's not getting flustered despite them throwing a lot of different stuff at him defensively.
Have you seen a lot of the running ability come out? Is that being used at all? Because it's all over the highlight tape. It's obviously all over his player profile.
Yeah, he certainly has that in him. But when you can't hit the quarterback, I've never understood the point of that.
Of having quarterbacks run?
Taking off and running when you can't be hit. Stick in the pocket, make a throw. He has at times escaped the pocket and run. I think it's going to be in the RPO game, right, where he's got several options and going to read the defensive end, and not even RPO, you know what I'm saying. Help me out here.
The read option
stuff? And he's got that ability to pull it. We've also seen some speed option, which is interesting. We saw it out of Braden Locke, actually, more so than Tanner Mordecai. So they're probably going to – there's going to be a different feel, certainly, at quarterback. I haven't necessarily seen anything specifically put in for his running ability.
So we heard your update at the top of the hour. It was a good day from him. And then Locke is still getting the majority of the second-team reps. Talked about that on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It was something where it's clearly Locke, and then it's been a lot of other guys, and Nick Evers has not gotten the reps that maybe you thought he would have at this point. Is that still the case?
But it was today, certainly. Nick Evers did get a few reps with the second group, but a lot of Marshall Howe, a lot of Miles Burkett. Nah, I shouldn't say a lot. Most of the reps have been taken by Tanner Mordecai and Braden Locke. But the other three, I think Nick Evers is probably taking the least of them. And I don't know if this was directed at Nick Evers afterwards, but Luke Fickell was asked about Braden Locke. And he was talking about how much he studies and how much time he puts into it outside of the what's necessary to put into it, outside of what's required. He goes above and beyond. And I don't know if that was directed at somebody else, because Nick Evers has the most physical talent, I think, of anybody in that room. And so maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I think, as Jesse said on the camp today, still kind of learning how Luke Fickell works in his press conferences. Whereas Paul Chris said absolutely nothing. Some coaches, you know, single out guys without singling out guys.
Right, they send messages.
Yes. So I don't know if that was the case or not with Nick Evers. But, again, he's got the physical tools, as you would expect.
So that's part of the good. And I mean, offensively, offense versus defense. Was it another one of those days where because you had said the offense kind of controlled the first day.
Yep.
The defense probably came out on top the second.
Dominated the second day.
Today?
Today was kind of a mix. A little bit of a mix. I know we're going to be talking later on about some of the guys that have stood out, guys that are rising and that type of stuff, but Will Pauling just keeps on making plays.
Well, I want to talk about him for a second.
Yeah.
Because we had done a transfer draft, at least talking about the guys this year that could have the most impact, and we each took four players, and he was not selected.
No.
I did not view him initially as a guy coming from Cincinnati that didn't play that much, that was young. I didn't think he'd be a guy that could crack the top group of a lot of established guys. And then Bryson Green, who, yeah, he's been banged up and hasn't been playing much. And then even a C.J. Williams, who on paper is more talent. But your article, the Wisconsin Spring Practice Report on MadCitySportsZone.com, highlighted him both today. And I've heard his name a lot brought up as a guy. He's very shifty. It got me wondering, like, the old Wisconsin offense, I feel like, they never had that joystick guy in the slot. Kind of how that offense operated, where Jim Radike, really good receiver, he would operate out of the slot,
yeah.
But he doesn't really strike me as a typical slot guy,
yeah.
As one of those gadget, you know, joystick kind of players.
Right.
Will Pauling could be that.
He could be. He could. They've had guys like that, but they just haven't necessarily utilized him in that
respect. Like who?
Like Aaron Cruikshank was a joystick type of guy.
Right.
Thin, right? Not more fast than quick, I would say, with Aaron Cruikshank. Kenzel Doe was a bit like that, but he was very, very small, you know, only like 5'8". Will Pauling is probably 5'10". He's probably legit 180 pounds. He doesn't. He looks the part to go along with it. What's he listed at?
The spring roster has him at 5'10", 186.
All right, boom. Thank you very much.
That was good.
So I look at what he does is he's got the quickness and speed to deal with that, but he's also tough enough, I think, to deal with some of the stuff that you would have to being in the slot. But they've gotten the ball in his hands a bunch of different ways, like some of the orbit motion stuff, where he comes in motion behind the quarterback. And getting the ball in his hands that way. I haven't handed it off to him yet, but, like, throwing it out to him. I thought the biggest question was, could he catch the ball? And he's shown some remarkable hands, some of the stuff over the shoulder catches, where the ball's coming over your left shoulder, and you're able to turn your head and follow it all the way back over to your outside shoulder and catch it. And he did that today for what would have been a touchdown. It was only one-on-ones, but it was a perfect throw from Tanner Mordecai, and an amazing catch by him. So, yeah, they haven't necessarily used that guy. Perhaps the biggest note for him today was getting some first team reps. He got some first team reps with Mordecai in place of Skylar Bell, who had been the slot receiver. And
so it was him, Jim Ray, and Keontez Lewis.
And
I like that group.
And you don't know. I mean, I like the entire group, to be honest with you. But I don't know where Bryson Green fits in. Like, is Bryson Green going to be – I don't think Bryson Green's a slot guy, so I think he's probably behind – I think he's probably with Keontez. I think he's probably the guy that's behind Keontez Lewis right now, and the guy that he – maybe that would be the guy he'd be battling with for playing time as opposed to time in the slot. But it went back and forth, and I don't want to make too much of one day. So we'll see what happens on Saturday in terms of lineups and that type of thing, because there were a number of notable switches today that if they continue on – into Saturday and then into Tuesday, they become much bigger story.
Material, yeah. I mean, real quick on Pauling also, and in terms of different ways to get him the ball, Again, this goes to, I think it's a quarterback thing. It'll help him out. I think it also, it's an offensive scheme thing where in the past, the creative ways, quote-unquote, to get players the ball used to be jet sweeps. They used to just be handoffs,
right.
Which, think about it, you're a player. It's a lot harder to operate out of that than it would be, say, when you're flying to the sideline with two blockers ahead of you. Which is this offense in general, obviously it's very based on space.
Yeah.
But getting the ball into a guy like Pauling's hands, that's what makes me excited about this year. It's what makes me excited about the future. Because, again, we've always said if you could get the players that fit the system, it can work. And good notes on Pauling. I mean, it just goes to the depth. If we talk about the wide receiver room, we don't have to go three. We don't have to go top four. But just the depth, even a guy like Chris Brooks, who I saw listed again as someone who stood out, where now I think realistically with Bryson Green coming back and what he's done, and we'll see about C.J. Williams at this point in his career, but you could go seven deep. You could go eight deep from the names that I've been hearing.
Yeah, and Chris Brooks essentially is the backup to Keontae Lewis right now. So he's taking advantage, you would think, of perhaps Bryson Green's absence. Or Bryson Green is playing behind Chimray Dike, and then he's playing in front of C.J. Williams. The problem is the names that we all talk about, we have an expectation for certain guys, right? Like C.J. Williams, because of what he was coming out of high school, you have an expectation that he's going to be in the lineup, even though he hasn't done anything at the college level. Bryson Green has done it at the college level. He hasn't done it here. Chris Brooks Jr. hasn't done it at the college level. He wasn't a highly recruited guy, but we're seeing it in spring and him showing out. And he had the catch of the day on Saturday, had the catch of the day today, going essentially, you know, it was really, really tight coverage. I think it might have been Avion Jones. It was really great coverage. But just at the last second, he just reached over the guy, caught the ball, and pulled it in. And I'm not sure Jones even knew where the ball was by that point. He was like, break up, interception, and all of a sudden it was gone.
So you're saying Chris Brooks is like Keontae Lewis if Keontae Lewis was 45 pounds heavier.
And probably 2/10 of a second, maybe 3/10 of a second slower.
Which isn't that significant
it
in general.
When, I mean, it is when you're going from 4.3 to 4.6.
That's a good point.
And maybe that's being nice and saying 4.6.
Yeah, Chris Brooks kind of seems like to me a guy when it's not positionless football, but without as many inline tight ends, that's a guy that could fit perfectly on clear passing downs. If you're not holding your tight end in the block and you're putting him out wide anyway, that's a guy that could fit that role very well.
I would
with
agree.
The body and
I would
the
agree.
Catching.
Dude's 225. This is for older people, but he looks like Lance Kendricks. And maybe it has a little bit to do with the fact that he wears 84. He's also probably 2 inches shorter and probably 20 points. College Lance Kendricks, probably 10 pounds lighter than he was. But he looks exactly like him catching the ball and running it. And he's all geared up the same way, too. Like Lance Kendricks, yeah. So I've thought that he could be a tight end. But they're actually getting some production out of their tight ends, too. I thought Jack Pugh and Jack Eschenbach both had really good days today, and Jack Eschenbach caught a couple touchdowns, including the one I mentioned earlier from Tanner Mordecai. So I do feel like they have options to get the ball to, which maybe they didn't necessarily have in past, but also didn't necessarily maybe have the quarterback to get it to them either. In the offensive system to get it to
them. It's going to be fascinating when they play their first game against Buffalo, just seeing who is on the field and when, because snap counts, I think, no longer will do the direct justice, where it could be specific to the down and distance, where they could have more, you know, later down long-distance receivers as opposed to guys that are there every time. I'm intrigued by that. I think that's something that we'll really learn when they get out there and play, because it could be targets, it could be catches, it could just be who's out there the most and who's out there when. I want to talk, you mentioned one of the big changes that we saw today. The offensive line looks different.
Yeah. It did today.
For the first 2 days, it was, as we mentioned, Jack Nelson, Tanner Bordellini, Jake Renfro, Furtney, and Riley Mallman from left to right. Now, a couple of changes. They moved Tanner Bordellini into center and Trey Wettig in there at left guard. Was there a noticeable difference in the group? Or does this feel like a let's just try it to see what works? Or does it feel like a we actually think this is the best group?
I don't want to make too many assumptions, right? Like, Jake Renfro didn't come here to sit on the bench, just like Tanner Mordecai didn't come here to sit on the bench, just like Nathaniel Vakos didn't come to sit on the bench. But you still have to play. you still have to go out and win and earn your spot. And so I don't know if it was just, you know, maybe working Jake Renfro in slowly, but, I mean, going from first team to second team after 2 days, and this is the first day they actually had pads on. This is the first day that there was true, you know, knocking around inside with the shoulder pads on. I mean, they had spiders on, and sometimes spiders get a little bit too physical than they probably should with those on. But, yeah, I think it's notable. Jake Renfro going from first to second team center. I don't know how much to make of it. As I said before, if these are kind of like the Will Pauling thing, if it's something that lasts into Saturday and then into Tuesday and then into the third, like if it's, then yeah, it's obviously very, very notable. Tanner Bordellini likes playing center, but he also was looking forward to playing guard and, you know, said all the right things when we had a chance to talk to him. But he's also played center before and played it well. And you want to have as many centers as possible, but I don't think you're changing it up just to give another guy a chance, right? You're doing it because you think he's got a chance. And it also might talk about Trey Wettig too, right? Maybe Tanner Bordellini is a first-team guy, right, no matter what.
But there's a lower guy that you can't keep off the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I could see that.
Right? And Trey Wettig played a lot last year. And at left guard, you know, I don't know. I've always thought he's a little big for guard, but you know, you never know. My dark horse is Joe Brunner, and I'm holding out. I'm holding out for that.
Speaking of center and who is playing it, okay, can we talk about the snapping? Okay, can we talk about the handing of the ball from the center to the quarterback in the I formation?
Through almost three full days of practice, we had not seen a single snap under center. We had not seen a quarterback under center at all,
which is sure to make the classical people, the Wisconsin can't change ever people, sure to drive them up the wall.
Yeah, it's not like Wisconsin was always under the center.
Center,
you know, last year especially. But like when they get down to the goal line, they're under center and they're going to try and run the ball down your throat type of stuff.
Oh,
and
when you ask anybody, any college football viewer in the Big Ten elsewhere, what do you imagine when you imagine Wisconsin? It's a goal line set with the jumbo package, with an extra offensive lineman and two fullbacks.
Yeah. And a little, you know, a little off-tackle run. So they tried to do that today down in the goal line, and Tanner Mordecai under center with Tanner snapping, and you could tell he was not comfortable whatsoever, Tanner Mordecai is, because I guarantee that's probably like the first time he's been under center in probably like 5 years.
Oh, SMU, rarely.
If not longer. And, yeah, never looked comfortable, got, you know, snapped, bobbled, fumbled all over the place, and the drive was over. So let's just say we're not going to be seeing a ton of that, I think, from Wisconsin.
That's a shame.
But I imagine there's going to be some work on that, because at some point, they're going to have, you know, the ability to go under center and take a snap.
If it's third and one, I imagine there has to be a point in the season where they have to have that in just to gain 1 yard or 2 yards. It still is the Big Ten, and they could run out of shotgun, and it could work.
I think they'd run out of shotgun.
But still, I imagine them need a QB sneak package,
yeah,
what the Eagles have made so famous. I had two thoughts about it. Either A, the football gods have noticed what Wisconsin has done schematically with their program and shifting far away from old school football, and said, you know, we're just not going to allow you the ability to even take a snap out of the I formation. That could be one way that this happens. The other thing it brought me back to was Graham Mertz taking a snap on the goal line against Penn State, probably down anywhere from 3 to 6 points in the fourth quarter, turning around and fumbling.
Wasn't that early in the game, or was that late? It
happened the whole game.
But it happened against Eastern Michigan, too, like the next week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happened down near Eastern Michigan's goal line.
On the first drive.
But the Badgers had four fourth-quarter possessions against Penn State that game, they all ended inside the five with 0 points.
Yeah.
And there was the fullback one where he turned around and the fullback hit it. There was one where he just lost the ball. It was a...
Good memories.
It was a catastrophe.
Good times.
Well, I mean, that was... Coming into that year, a lot of expectations. I picked the Badgers to win the Big Ten. I thought they had the pieces. The defense was there. The first game back after COVID. So much went into that.
Yeah.
and
great defense.
I could give you the play-by-play.
Jaquan Brisker could as well. He knew exactly what was coming. That's why
Jaquan Brisker
off
got him. I think everybody knew what was coming. All right.
And yet, yeah, for sure.
So we have a lot to get to today. I want to look at the first three spring practices as a whole. There's a lot of the notes from the one that happened today. And there were a couple others. There were some notes on the kicking competition.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get to when we come back, and the punters as well. But what are the emerging storylines coming from the first practice to the second to the third? After 1 week of this, what are some of the storylines? What are the headlines that are emerging? We'll get to that when we come back. It is MLB opening day, as I mentioned. Tough loss for the Brewers today. Saw a bunch of people down here to watch the game, though. And find a Monk's location near you. They'll have Brewers baseball on throughout the season. Heard them playing the sound through the speaker, Zach, which, at least to me, when I think baseball, I think going out to a bar to watch baseball, the most important thing they could do is play the sound through the speakers. So they had that running here. Tough loss for the Brewers, but there are 161 more games at least to come by. Come to Monk's, watch the Brewers play, have golf as well. Got the Valero Texas Open going on, a national open for the state of Texas. So monksbarandgrill.com, find a Monk's location near you. One in Sunder Prairie is terrific. When we come back, a lot more to get to. We'll talk emerging storylines from the first three spring practices, have some Badger basketball transfer news. And it's not maybe the news that people would hope for at this point in the season. We'll get to all of it. It's Kenny and Heilprin.
This is Kenny and Heilprin on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network.
All right, welcome back, Kenny and Heilprin, live Monk's Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie, monksbarandgrill.com to find a location near you. Zach, spring practice, we are now one full weekend. And, I mean, out of each practice, we've obviously discussed the standouts, what's been good, what's been not so good, just the overall impressions of what's going on and the staff. Given all of the talk from you and from others, I think one big emerging storyline would be the pace, just in general. The pace at which everything goes, how different it is from the previous regime. What about the others? What would the other emerging larger storylines be, aside from maybe the individual risers on the field?
That's tough, man. That's really tough because it's only three practices. I think it would have to be on the defensive side of the ball and some of the stuff that they're throwing at the offense.
Schematically.
It was crazy.
That makes me excited.
It was crazy. So on Saturday, and we kind of talked about this on Tuesday, but on Saturday, it was just straight 2-4-5. Everything we had seen, you know, for the last 9 years, not everything, but for the most part, you know, we get the two down linemen, the four linebackers, and the nickel defense. And that was the case on Saturday. And then on Tuesday, they came out of nowhere with some of what we had seen at Cincinnati, but it looked different. Like, so if you look at the roster, it would be a 2-4-6.
That's too many players.
2-3-6. 2-3-6.
Okay.
Right? If you look at the formation, it was a 3-3-5.
So they had an outside linebacker, say, down on the line.
Yes.
In a three-point stance, in essence.
No, but not in a three-point stance. They only had two defense linemen, one over the center, one on the left. Then they had the outside linebacker, which in these cases were the bigger outside linebackers, C.J. Getz and T.J. Bowlers, one of the two lined up over the tackle. And then they had three linebackers, but it was Jordan Turner and Mumajong Mehta and Hunter Wohler as the other outside linebacker. And then you had six DBs. You had five more DBs. You had two safeties and Latu and Travion Blaylock, and then the three corners. So essentially, Hunter Wohler is a linebacker in that situation. C.J. Getz is a defensive lineman in that situation. And the way that Turner was moving and the way that Mumajong Mehta was moving before the snap and, like, getting near the line of scrimmage and then pulling back and then other guys coming up, it was it's intriguing, I'll say that, to say the least. Because, you know, with Hunter Wohler, I think the most notable thing about it is when Hunter Wohler, like the second team group, the position Hunter Wohler's playing is Darryl Peterson. So I think that says more about Hunter Wohler and his ability to play up near the line of scrimmage.
Oh, yeah.
Also drop back, get after the passer. Like, he can do everything. He's essentially an outside linebacker And we saw him make a huge play on Tuesday, stepping in front of the pass and taking it back for a touchdown. That package has a chance to be nasty, I think.
I love it. Assuming
they can stop the run.
Well, I love
it. It comes down to stopping the run. And I thought the offense had some success against that group today, running the ball, because it really does spread you out. But, gosh, if they can play C.J. Getz and T.J. Bowlers as like a third defensive lineman, and I would assume Darian Varner would also probably be in that role. You know what I mean? Like maybe he plays a little bit of that spot with without his hand on the ground, a little two-point stance type of stuff. It's got a chance to be nasty, I think.
I mean, that is – it intrigues me to – because it was one of the big questions entering, but most importantly, it was wondering what does Tressel's 3-3 look like in year one with personnel that wasn't necessarily something that he had catered to his scheme.
It's the mesh.
So this is exactly how you morph the two together, which you need the players to do. You need a guy like Wohler to do. I pulled up Wisconsin's schedule, and this is admittedly not knowing everything about every team that they're going to face, but aside from Ohio State, who is Ohio State, what's the best rushing offense they face this year? Is it Iowa? Because you look down late in the season.
Say the best offense?
Rushing offense. Just in terms of can you stop the run, we know that, not to go too deep into it, but in general, you don't look at Wisconsin's schedule and see a murderer's row of rushing offenses.
Without looking into who these teams are, you don't know anything about Buffalo.
Well, I believe Chase – no, I'm talking about in Big Ten play.
Oh, in Big Ten play.
I believe Chase Brown is gone from Illinois.
He is, because you know how I know that? Well, one, because I know that, but two – because the punter, Wisconsin's punter from last year,
Vujinovic,
had the same
measurables,
long jump wise,
yeah,
right. Broad jump as Chase Brown.
So I mean, Iowa might be an answer just because of who they are, but it's still like that's the Brian Ferentz Iowa offense.
Yeah.
I just where maybe in the past you would look at the Big Ten West and see a lot of really great running teams. It might not be that this year, which could fit in well, aside from the Buckeyes, into what this defense is good at. It might give them some time to figure it out, where it's not as if you would go into the first couple weeks of the year, like 2021, for instance, with a good Michigan team, a good Penn State team, where you need to stop the run then. Here it's like, okay, you have three out-of-conference games, then you have Purdue, who has not been great at rushing the ball recently.
That kind of burned you last year.
Oh, they got better at it.
They were very good last year. And he's not. Is he still there?
Maccabee?
Maccabee's still there.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on scholarship. He was a walk-on.
I know.
He's on scholarship now.
So you think they're not going to be a running team?
Well, they have a new head coach.
With a defensive head coach?
I have no idea what they're going to be.
Yeah.
Well, I could look up their offensive coordinator.
And they got the quarterback you wanted.
They got one of the quarterbacks I wanted in the portal.
The quarterback you wanted.
Not knowing that Tanner Mordecai was available. Yeah. No, I've said I'd rather have Tanner Mordecai start for my team this year than Card.
If Tanner Mordecai was at Purdue and Hudson Card was here, would you be singing a different tune?
Well, if Hudson Card would probably be the starter. I think it'd be more of a battle in camp to win the job, because Hudson Card has played 1 year of college, maybe two. He might be a redshirt sophomore. I think it'd be more of a battle between him and Locke. That would be the storyline. Like, can you imagine if there was a real quarterback battle right now where we had no clue who was going to start?
That'd be fun.
It'd be really interesting, and we would read way too deep into how everybody played during the practices.
Yeah.
What other storylines could be emerging from spring practice in general? The defensive one I love.
Yeah, the defense. Obviously the defense wants.
Which also, there was a list, and not to overreact to lists, of the top defensive coordinators in college football, and notably, the new Cincinnati defensive coordinator, something Brown. I don't remember his first name, but I'll find it. Was on it, and Mike Tressel was not.
Where is he from?
And Tressel has some. Tressel's proven it. Brian Brown. I will find it right now.
Because he wasn't at Cincinnati last year, obviously.
No, he might have been at Louisville with Satterfield, who is now at Cincinnati. He was at Louisville with Satterfield.
I feel like Mike Tressel probably has never been considered one of the better ones, which is kind of funny considering he was the and I think at least some of this has to do with having a defensive head coach,
which is I don't think we've talked about that enough.
Well, it's kind of like the offensive coordinator thing with Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City, right? you have Andy Reid. He's the one that calls the plays. He's the one that gets all the credit for such a great offense when it really has a lot to do with the quarterback. And Eric Bieniemy, you know, kind of gets overlooked. It's just the way it is. It was the same way.
He doesn't have to do as much.
Right. It's the same way in Green Bay. Like, but in college, the offensive head coach always gets credit for the offense when things go well, and when they don't, they also
fire the OC.
And then they also take a lot of the heat. And on defense, it's kind of the same way. Brett Bielema never took heat for bad offenses because he's not the offensive guy.
Well, this might be where I'm wrong in having mild concern about the defense, and it partially has to do with the lack of Jim Leonard. It partially had to do with the personnel, but not trusting the fact that Luke Fickell, who has been one of the best defensive minds in college football for a little while, not trusting that when he comes in, like, it'll still be a defensive team.
Yeah.
Because all the talk has been Longo in the offense, and rightfully so, it's all different, but it's not as if this is an offensive head coach that hired his offensive, major OC change, and then has the defense, and there's a guy there. But no, this is Fickell's program, and he's a defensive guy. Yeah. So maybe I'm wrong for having concern.
Yeah, maybe. Tell me how you feel about this. Every time Mike Tressel says Madtown, the entire team has to say Mayhem.
Nope, out. 100% out. That happens during practice?
It happens during meetings.
Oh, no.
Madtown, Mayhem. Well, Mayhem.
I don't like Madtown.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it either.
It's kind of odd. Okay.
But
well,
either way, that's so that we learned that yesterday with the defensive linemen.
I will not be that far against it until I see it posted on Twitter.
Okay.
In one of the Wisconsin football clip hype videos.
So
if I see that happen, I'm out.
Maybe I'll drop the breaking news here then. Now, maybe it's not breaking news. It's a little bit of a tidbit. Had an opportunity to chat with Kelsey Sharkey and Jerry Mao, part of the creative media team with Wisconsin, as part of the camp yesterday. If you haven't listened to it, go check it out. It's actually a really good interview because of them. And they said, you know, the camp, the video series that they do every year, like they, where it's like kind of like the Hard Knocks version of it.
Oh, yeah. It's when Paul Christ came into the first meeting. And what did he say?
I don't know.
Oh, it was a great clip. I'll go find it. It was the first. It was of their preseason camp, not spring ball. And he's leaving the meeting room, and he just says something super Paul Christie. Like let's go knock some mother out.
Okay, all right.
Something like that.
So they're bringing that's going to start next week. They actually are doing a spring version of it. They hadn't done a spring version of it before, so they're bringing that back, and then they're doing a whole thing. I watched – so they did this at Cincinnati, and I watched some of it. It was – and they did a really good job at the camp at Wisconsin. Really good. This was just, like, completely different. They were, like, inside the Fickell house. And
oh.
Like, yeah, it was – the access – and I think this has a lot to do with it. The access that they get because of Luke Fickell's trust in Kelsey Sharkey, who has been with them, you know, for 6 years now, that – they're just a lot more open and just have a lot more access to everything that happens. And so, yes, I'm looking forward to it. Are you going to find this?
Yeah, nah, I'm not going to find it because we know my recent history in finding clips.
My goodness.
Maybe I'll find it coming back from the break, but just a good Paul Christ tidbit to fit in with the Fickell hype.
Yep.
But that's exciting. I'll definitely look forward to that.
Because I think that's maybe where you would see something like that.
Right, right. So, yeah, out on Madtown Mayhem. Maybe we can help, I don't know, brainstorm what could be shouted.
I don't think we could. I think
that's not up to me. That's up to the people on Twitter.
I think he's settled in.
Gotcha.
I think he's settled in with Madtown. Mayhem. The idea is to keep the energy up within the room. The idea is to.
I get it.
So guys aren't sleeping. So
yeah.
guys aren't, you know, falling asleep in meetings and lackadaisical. It's another thing to keep the energy up.
Do you want to practice it right here?
I don't.
All right, let's do this. We're live at Monk's Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie. When we come back, I want to talk about the kickers. I want to talk about the kickers and the punters, and also one bold prediction that was made on this show, not by either of us, and where it stands after 3 days of spring ball. We will hit on all that. Again, live, Monk's Bar and Grill, Sun Prairie. Go to monksbarandgrill.com to find a location near you. We got a lot more coming up. It's Kenny and Heilprin.
This is Kenny and Heilprin on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network.
All right, welcome back in.
It is Kenny and Heilprin. We are live, Monk's Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie. So, Zach, there was a bold prediction made on this very show weeks ago. I was out enjoying the Great West of Utah, and Colton Bartholomew was on the show. It was a great episode. Got great reviews. There was a lot of, why can't you do the show with Colton every time?
Still getting reviews like that. I'm actually, someone said, great job with all the shows. Can you just have Ben talk less? And I said, I don't know if I can or not. No, I'm kidding. No one said that.
But I don't think I'd be surprised if that was a
response. They would never say that to me.
Response. But he said his bold prediction for spring was that Jackson Aker would run away with the running back three job.
I don't know about run away, but
that he would take the running back three job.
He would be the number three guy.
He would emerge. And he got banged up today. Braylon Allen is also banged up, so the reps are weirdly distributed, not as they normally would.
Nope.
What are you seeing from that position and from Cade Iacomelli, who I am intrigued by?
Yeah, so Cade played safety last year. Had Joe Rudolph still been here last year, I think he – because Joe Rudolph told me he was going to be a running back when he came in. And I think that they had some maybe injuries at safety. I don't know. They moved him over to the defensive side of the ball, and he was there, and he kind of got buried. But he's special when he's got the ball in his hands. That is obvious. He's fast. He's built very, very strong. He's a very well-built kid. He doesn't have the experience in terms of, like, blocking and that type of stuff. But, man, he's got unlimited, I think, potential because of his athleticism. And he catches the ball well. So there's a lot there to like. But I also think he's getting – I know, speaking of Colton, said today that he's running away with the number three job. And I guess he may get the job. But I think a lot of the reps today had a lot to do with the guys being out. Jackson Aker and Ches Malusi, I think, were going to be sharing the number one reps today, and then Jackson got hurt. And so then it had become Malusi and Davis, and then Iacomelli was working with the second group the entire time. And so I think there's still probably a little bit further to go, but he's a guy, and I think I said this in another show, or one of our other shows, and I'm going to say it a ton. Phil Longo said the offense is designed to get the ball in the hands of athletes and let them go be athletes. Cade Iacomelli is one of their best athletes. Get the ball in his hands and let him go. And so it may be a specialized role more so than a guy you can count on putting him back there for 15 or 20 plays, because there's a lot more to the position than just catching and running.
So it's different than in the past, because during the best years Wisconsin has had in the backfield, it was Jonathan Taylor on almost every down. But early in his career, there was a lot of third down back, Garrett Groshek, receiving that came in. I guess in this offense, with two clear guys at the top in Allen and Malusi, where do we expect to see the running back three, or will we at all? Because, I mean, Braylon Allen I don't see as a third and 15 type of back that you would have in. Ches Malusi maybe could be, but we haven't seen that much of him receiving aside from a screen or two here and there. If Iacomelli is that kind of athlete, that seems to be a setting that would fit him well. If it's third and 20 and you're running something quick underneath to get the ball in the hand if needed.
It's third and 20.
Well, you're in a tough spot in third and 20.
Chuck
but
it deep.
Fine, third and 12.
To Keontes, right?
Sure. Or Chris
Brooks. I know what you're saying. We actually saw a screen today. We saw some of those screens today.
Well, that's exciting.
Quick screens.
You know I like screens.
Yep. But it wasn't to Jack Dunn. It was to
That was so unnecessary. Listen, I've taken my fair share of ricochet shots at Jack Dunn, who doesn't deserve it. Who
he
was
doesn't.
Awesome.
Yes.
Who was awesome, but happened to be there during a not great moment in Wisconsin wide receiver history in 2020 with Graham Mertz.
Yeah, he got some there were some a couple screens today, including to the running back. So I think that's certainly a possibility. But again, Cade catches it well. He runs it well. If you go look at his high school highlights, they're insane. He was a dynamic player in Pennsylvania. It was a really, really good get for Wisconsin. They just didn't know which spot he was going to play. I think running back is the right spot for him. I just don't know exactly how many reps he's going to get. But you asked, is the third running back going to get it? All we have to do is look at this first week. Braylon Allen gone after the second practice. Jackson Man. Aker gone, you know, into the third practice. Ches Malusi has been hurt each of the first 2 years that he's been here. So, yeah, can the third or fourth running back at Wisconsin play some snaps this year? Hell, yeah, he's going to play some snaps this year. That's just – that has become the way it is. Braylon is built like a truck, but he also has ankles that, you know, people go after, and it leads to injury.
Right.
You know, so, yes.
Third and fourth guy are going to matter.
Yes, I think they will. I don't know how much they're going to matter on a game to – like, on a single-game basis, if Braylon is healthy and Ches is healthy, I don't know how much the other guys will matter, but they're going to play at some point this year. Whether there's nine guys in the box or six, guys are still going to take Braylon Allen down the exact same way they have these first 2 years, and that's diving at his ankles.
Which became effective as last year went on, as he got banged up.
It's effective against every big back. Some guys just are able, don't have the bad luck of getting rolled up.
Yep.
That's not a shot at Braylon.
No.
It's just what it is.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Real quick, you saw the kicking competition take fold today. Number one, early thoughts on the leader in the room. Number two, how did Vakos look? And number three, most importantly, does the ball still explode off Vito Calvariso's foot?
It does.
As I'm being told.
It does, but it didn't go the way it needed to go.
Which has happened before.
Yeah. I've never seen them do this before. They had all four guys kick. They had all four guys kick, none of them over 40 yards. They were all 38 yards and in.
That's fine because we're going for it. Past 40 yards, and it's fourth and five. We're keeping the offense out.
So they went 7 for 8. The lone miss came from Calvaruso from, I believe, was 38. Nate Van Zelst had one that went through. I don't know how it went through. It was a knuckleball, but it was such a short kick, it didn't really matter. Vakos and...
It's okay. We care about results on this show.
Vakos and Van Zelst got the first reps. And then it was Gavin Lahm and Vito Calvaruso after that. So, yeah, as I said before, I don't think Vakos came here to sit. I don't think he, you know, didn't transfer to sit. But he has to win the job still. And Nate Van Zelst was very efficient, even if he wasn't necessarily effective from beyond a certain range.
Which, again, I'm fine with.
Again, hit from 47 in the bowl game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. People are saying he just needs time to implement his system, kind of like Chris Herring, who had the special teams went off in the bowl game.
They did.
And then
Where is Chris Herring working?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Punter-wise,
yes.
Apparently they're being taught how to Aussie rules kick to roll out to the right.
Do you call that rugby or do you call it Aussie?
It's the same thing.
Okay.
Or I view it as the same because it's a rugby kick.
Okay.
Which is what the Aussie punters do.
Right. So they don't have an Australian on the roster, obviously.
Which they should,
yeah.
Which is my point.
This was not new. This is the first time I saw it today. But, yeah, they did. They had Jack Van Dyke and Gavin Myers rolling out a little bit before they punted. They had this little circle, like, where they would have to run to and then punt.
I love it.
Yeah. They also did their normal punting, too. But kind of like, I mean, I don't hate it. Maybe they have something up their sleeve in terms of a transfer portal guy coming in from after he's done with his rugby season or his Aussie Rules football season, and all of a sudden he's here in May. We'll see.
There is, yep, portal window in May. That's what I'm going to be focusing on.
I know what you're going to be
focusing on. Aside from defensive line depth, there's some other big holes on the roster probably.
Big holes?
Probably tight end, defensive line depth, I would say. But I will be focusing on punting.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. We'll step away for a final time. We will come back. When we return, the Badgers lost on Tuesday in the NIT. We now have the first transfer move. Is it to the program? Is it from the program? We'll tell you who it is and what and react to it. All coming up next. It's Kenny and Heilprin.
This is Kenny and Heilprin on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network.
All right, we are back. It is Kenny and Heilprin, live from Monk's Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie. Ben, Kenny, Zach, Heilprin, monksbarandgrill.com. Find a location near you. Food's great. Got televisions everywhere. It's still opening day. Got MLB Network on, Zach, which I'm a big fan of. That's my opening day tradition. Not that you're going to give yours. But I just like MLB tonight. I like the rundown, the live look-ins, the highlights. fast food society. I need everything in small packages fed to me, like so.
My opening day tradition is going to American Family Field for the one and only time each year.
Which will be on April 3rd.
On Monday.
Can't wait. Yep. Home opener.
Yep.
And then obviously the Valero Texas Open as well. Masters Week coming up. I cannot think of a better place to watch the Masters than this.
Valero Texas, is that a football game?
No, it's a golf tournament.
Don't they have like...
Yeah, the Valero Alamo.
Okay.
Bowl.
So the worthwhile. Okay, gotcha.
Well, Valero is pretty big in Texas, I take.
Okay.
Seems to be big gas.
All right.
Things of that nature. So the news, the breaking news of the day. I don't want to lead with it because spring practice is what is on everyone's mind. But with the Badgers, a disastrous loss to North Texas on Tuesday. It's the same loss we've seen.
Disastrous.
All season. Well, it was.
The NIT, dude. Come on.
They didn't score for 10 minutes.
It was a bad loss.
It was
an ugly loss, but it's also not unexpected.
Sure.
It was a true ode to the season.
Yeah, it was an unsurprising loss. It was a very on-brand loss for the Badgers. And we have our first transfer move. Jordan Davis entered the transfer portal earlier today, according to verbal commits on Twitter. 5.1 points per game this year, 3.5 rebounds, 20 minutes per game. I mean, played a pretty big minutes role. Probably spoke to the lack of depth on the team, generally speaking.
Did he finally make it off the Michigan bench after the Hunter Dickinson shot? Did he go from the bench to the transfer portal? No.
Johnny's starting to play well.
I thought he took his demotion from starter to bench well, and I don't think he, you know, complained a ton and kept playing hard and gave us some good defensive minutes. But yeah, he wanted a bigger role, and it wasn't going to happen at Wisconsin. And he just didn't hit enough good. He just didn't hit enough shots. If you're supposed to be a 3-point shooter, which is what he's supposed to be, you kind of need to hit some 3-point shots, and he didn't hit nearly enough of them.
I thought he was due to start hitting those shots
all season.
Well, it happened during the Marquette game, during the Stanford one of the early games when he hit two threes. I thought the floodgates were opening, and they did not open.
They did not.
Or they very quickly closed. So
a very good player, especially like a very good football player, was a very talented football player in high school. He was actually a good receiver.
Could fit.
He could have a nice fit somewhere.
Yeah, in all seriousness, I did enjoy watching him play. I thought he had a fine year. There were some shooting struggles, but defensively with what he brought, that was a big piece. So, with the year where we wondered who would actually step up and play the minutes, I thought he played well this year.
Yeah.
So I hope he finds somewhere that works and plays a lot, has a lot of success. Hopefully, I mean, Zach, to me, what this could signal is that, obviously there will be guys coming in, but it could be a situation, just to speculate aimlessly, of, okay, there could be a starting spot open, and it's going to go to one of the transfers. Where it could be somewhat guaranteed to them upon coming in, and then Jordan Davis might want to go start somewhere. I don't know. That could be not true.
Yeah, I don't think a starting spot was going to be in the offing for him next year if this team was going to be getting back to where it needed to be or where it needs to be in the big the Big Ten and playing in the NCAA tournament. I don't think he was going to have he shouldn't have had a shot to be a starter. Like, he's a nice bench player, or a fine bench player, I should say. So I don't know if that necessarily portends, but all the other signs of what we know about Wisconsin in the transfer portal and some of the guys that they're targeting would suggest that they're bringing in some guys that are going to take significant minutes, whether it's a starting spot or coming off the bench. And I think they're in a much better position to do that this year than they were last year with NIL and some of that stuff. I think they're in a much better spot to land some guys that they didn't hit last year.
Unfortunately, our time is up, and we cannot go through the long list of Wisconsin recruiting expenditures, which there was an article about today. So maybe check back in on Tuesday, and that'll be a topic. But no, more spring practice coming up this weekend. Zach, you're out there on Saturday. A lot of episodes of the camp to come. We will talk to you again coming up next Tuesday, 6 o'clock live, obviously in podcast form afterwards as well. Thanks for hanging around, everybody. We'll be at Bunks for one last time next Thursday as well, if you want to come by and say hello, 5 to 6 next Thursday, our last time at Bunks. But thanks for hanging around, everybody. We will talk to you on Tuesday. See ya.